Congregation, last Sunday, if you were with us, we saw the reality that as God's people, we are in good hands. And it's good news, we're still in good hands this evening as well. We're in the hands of none other than the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd. We're in the hands of Jesus, who laid down his life for his sheep. We saw that we saw Jesus as he provides for us, and we find contentment. He feeds us, he refreshes us, he nourishes us, he forgives us, he guides us. If you are a shepherd, if you are a sheep of the Great Shepherd, then what a wonderful shepherd you have. You just pause on that thought for a moment, couldn't we? What a wonderful shepherd you have. Jesus isn't the sort of shepherd that needs to drive you from behind, tooting his horn and getting you moving like that. No, he goes ahead of you, calling you to follow him into a life of blessing, towards eternal life indeed, but also in the best paths as you travel toward the life that awaits. As we look at the second half of the psalm this evening, David helps us to understand what it means that we're in good hands. And he gives us three scenarios, three pictures of life in which the shepherd is present with us, present for the good of his sheep, present for your good, present for blessing. And the first of those pictures is life in a dark place, and that is life in the valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to observe right at the outset that this picture is another grounding picture, a foundational picture of the Christian life. The Christian life, as we've seen before, is not a life that lacks struggles and suffering. There's deep suffering and deep struggles. And that's one good test for discernment, for example, as you listen to preachers on TV. Do they only ever give you a sense that the Christian life and faith is joy and laughter, wealth and blessing? Do they ever warn you about troubles and trials that will come your way for being a Christian? Do they ever warn you about difficulty and persecution? Because if they don't speak about those sorts of things, then no matter how many other good things they might say, there is the sense in which they are a false prophet. And they'll be dangerous to your faith long term. They are telling you a lie about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because if you follow Jesus for any length of time, then you'll know that there are those seasons in our life when we go through the valley. Life goes through the valley. And knowing this will spare you grief and doubt when your world turns to darkness. You won't be left surprised, caught out, unsuspecting, unprepared. It will help you in your struggle to reconcile, bring together God's goodness with your present suffering. And I'm telling you this today so that indeed you might be ready when those times come. I wonder if you've ever gone on a hydro slide when you've been down to the Gold Coast, whether to Wet and Wild World or Whitewater World. There's those regular hydro slides, and then there's the ones that are pitch black. You know the ones? Who prefers the regular ones? How many people prefer the regular ones? Got two people. Who likes the pitch black ones? Oh, more people, and the rest of you don't like any of them, I'm gathering. You like to go to the beach or something like that. Well, you know, as you go on the regular ones, you can anticipate the turns as you see them coming, don't you? Oh, we're going to hard right, medium left. You know, you can put up your hands to guide you just to steady yourself so you're not going to slip over. Then you go in the other sort of hydro slide, those ones that are pitch black tubing, and there's no warning whatsoever that the turns are coming, and not just the turns, but the sudden drops, and all of a sudden your stomach goes up to meet whatever else. You know, it's very easy to get thrown off balance in times like that, isn't it? I think that's what David's doing here in this psalm. He's warning us that the hydro slide of life contains these pitch black moments. And knowing this ahead of time is a little bit like having a map of the slide in your head. You're going along, and you can anticipate. You can learn that those turns are coming. You can put up your hands to guide you, even in the darkness. And you can be prepared for being all of a sudden thrown in a suddenly different direction because you know there's that possibility. So what is this valley that David speaks of to us tonight? I think it's important that we recognize that that this valley is speaking about more than simply death. Literally, David writes, even though I walk through the valley of, and then he, let me give you a number of words that could translate the final word of the phrase, the valley of darkness, the valley of deep shadow, the valley of impenetrable gloom. What does this valley contain? Well, we get a clue, don't we, from the next phrase. He says, I will fear no evil. The word David uses describes distress or adversity, a harmful situation, something hurtful, something hard. And so, yes, this psalm, I'm not unlearning everything you've ever learned about this psalm. This psalm indeed does have death in its sights. It's right for us to see that and understand that. But it has so much more than only death. This is a psalm for Christians in their working years, in their studying years. This is a psalm for any time when we face difficulties and deep struggles or distress. We are in this valley of deep shadow, the valley of deepest darkness. But I need not fear when I am in this valley, because you are with me. Up until now, the Lord's been referred to in the psalm. Obviously, he's been referred to, the Lord is my shepherd. But he's been referred to in the third person. Have you noticed that? He makes me lie down. He leads me. But now, all of a sudden, the psalm gets personal. It's not for he is with me, but for you are with me. David's speaking to the Lord. And he's saying that the presence of Jesus with his people in the midst of the valley means that we do not need to fear. There will be evil, but I will not fear, because you are with me. The Lord, with his shepherding tools in hand, the rod and the staff, the staff to guide and the rod to drive away attackers. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. I don't doubt this evening for one moment that some of us feel like we are in the valley right now. Life is falling apart, and you know you're experiencing deep disappointment and struggle. You're crying tears, perhaps, crying many tears, because what you long for is what you long for dearly is distant from you. Perhaps there's a deep conflict with someone in your life, and it's unresolved, and it's causing you pain, a relational problem. Perhaps you're grieving loss. Perhaps someone who you've thought of as a friend has betrayed you or betrayed a secret. My friend, the Lord is with you. He is with you whether you feel his presence or not. Our feelings are most often unreliable, especially when we're experiencing trouble. He is with you, though, because he promises that he is. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the promise of God. And in faith, in the dark moments of our life, we hold on to those promises even when our feelings are telling us another thing. We should hold on to that promise when we face death, especially our own. He is with you. So the shadows lengthen. Remember, as my good Baptist friend Charles Spurgeon once said, it is not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. For death and its substance has been removed, and only the shadow of it remains. When there is a shadow, there must be light somewhere, and so there is. Death stands by the side of the highway along which we have to travel, and the light of heaven shining upon death throws a shadow across our path. Let us rejoice that there is a light beyond. No one is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop someone's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. Let us therefore not be afraid. The Lord is with me. I shall not fear. I need not fear. He's with me in the valley. Picture of the blessing, knowing God. There's a second picture of our being in the good hands of the shepherd. Second picture that David gives us here, and that is the picture of being at the banquet. The valley, and now we've got the banquet. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Friends, if the valley of deep darkness speaks about the hostile circumstances that we may face as we live our lives in the world, then this verse actually has a similar but slightly different message. That the good shepherd is a good shepherd who cares for us, not only in the midst of hostile circumstances, but also in the midst and amongst the reality of hostile people. King David, the writer of the psalm, had this experience in spades, we might say. Saul trying to kill him before he became king. Then he's king for a while. You've got Absalom, his own son, trying to kill him after he became king. What was David's experience through the midst of that? It was this, that God continued to provide all that he needed. And how does David have this great confidence that God will provide all he needs into the future? Why? He has this confidence, I believe, by looking into the past, by looking at what God has already done for him. And not just for him, but for all of God's people. I think Psalm 78, verse 19, gives us that connection. And that psalm recalling that period of God's people wandering in the wilderness after the exodus from Egypt speaks of the people rebelling against God and not trusting in his ability to provide for them. You remember it well, and the people are like, we want to go back to Egypt because we had leeks and meat and other stuff. I don't know why they ever said they wanted leeks, especially. I can understand the meat bit, but they're like, God, you can't provide for us. We're here in the middle of this desert, and we're going to die here. We're going to starve here. This is a quote from the psalm. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the desert? Can God spread a table in the desert? And so we look back, don't we? Can God provide such a table? Can he spread such a table? Did he? Well, yes, he did. He faithfully provided for his people manna day after day after day, manna from heaven. And as I reflect on that, isn't it the case that as you look back on your life, as each of us tonight look back on our lives, can't we also look back with the same knowledge? See, God has provided for you. He's provided for you always. Sometimes in the nick of time, perhaps, but you are here today. You're at worship tonight because God has been faithful to you. He's never let you down. And so, with what greater confidence can we face the future? Can God spread a table for us? Yes, he always has. So why should we doubt that he cannot do it again? A head anointed with oil as well. Not just a table, but oil anointing our heads. We think, oh, that's not particularly a nice image. Well, that's a fragrant oil. Fragrant oil to prepare you for a coming banquet. That's how you get ready for a banquet. You see, you anoint your head with oil. You put on your perfume and get ready for a banquet. What banquet? Which banquet? Well, the Revelation 19 banquet, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the victory feast in heaven that's to come. And at that supper, my cup overflows, not merely a cup that's full, that would be enough for me, but more than enough for me. It's an overflowing cup of God's provision. I think to myself, isn't that what we look for as well? So we live in a world which is filled with people who are hostile towards God and his people, people who mock, people who ridicule the gospel and gospel people. And we can say with David, my provision is secure. God's provision is secure. Because if he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, if he did that, will he not also give us all things? He who provides for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and they are but part of God's creation. You were made in his image. If he cares for the smallest things in his creation, how much more will he not care for for you, made in his image. Next Sunday morning, we're going to come around the Lord's table once again. And I think this picture of the banquet ought to be one of the pictures we have in our minds, a foretaste, a sampler of the great banquet that's coming, the wedding supper of the Lamb, when Christ will return and take us to be with him and anoint our heads so that we will be radiant forever, to live in a place where our cup will overflow, not just once at a feast, but perpetually, always and forever. Picture of life in the world, life in the midst of hostile people, as well as hostile circumstances. We're in good hands. The Lord takes us to the banquet. Then the final picture of the good hands of Jesus in which we're secure is this picture that David gives us. The final picture. Picture of being secure and safe in his presence. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life, all the days of your life, God's goodness and his steadfast love will follow you. There's an even better word than follow to bring the meaning across. The goodness and love of God will pursue you, chase after you. God's goodness and his steadfast, unchanging love and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. The black days as well as the bright days. The days of fasting as well as the days of feasting. The dreary days of winter as well as the bright days of summer. All the days of your life. Until you return. The word David used doesn't only speak of dwelling, but of returning. Returning to dwell in the house of the Lord a great length of days, that is forever. And that is, I believe, the hope that helps to sustain us during those days of deepest darkness and shadow in the valley. Not only is the Lord with us in the midst of that valley, but one day there will be no more shadows. And that, having been pursued by the love and mercy of God all the days of our life on earth, we will dwell with God forever. Not in the temple, which was the house of the Lord during David's days, but even as the temple pictured the earthly presence of God, so too we will return and dwell in the heavenly presence of the Good Shepherd, the one who is making all things new, the one who one day will do away with all evil and put an end to all our fears, one day the one who will comfort us in his presence. And what that means is this, that come what may, our future is secure. Your life may be falling apart. You may lose everything in bushfire or flood. But you have a sure hope to sustain you in time of need. A hope that lets you hold loosely onto the things of this world. For this world, as we saw this morning, we are strangers in the world. This world is not our home. Don't make yourself too comfortable imagining yourself as a citizen of this world rather than an alien and a foreigner. We're temporary residents. Don't try to satisfy your longings by filling your life now with things or travel or experience. We are not yet in the promised land. We are not yet in the place where God has promised. But pursued by the love of God, God's goodness and his love through the valley, to the banquet, and in his presence, friends, we're in good hands. We're in good hands. Let's pray.